service. As our speaker this morning, he's the Granite City Baptist Director of Set Free Addictions Ministry and Chaplain with Stearns County Sheriff's Department. Brother Loomis, you come.
Got to make sure I'm wired for sound here. Not quite. It's red. Is it supposed to be red or green? Okay, good, good, good. I appreciate the invite to be here, and it was wonderful to be in Bible study this morning. It is so nice to be able to come to a place and meet more brothers and sisters in Christ and be at a place where people do love the Lord. And wonderful music and a wonderful church house, wonderful people. I don't know that this is maybe just a little bit of heaven right here, and that's really the size of it. It's really the size of it. I hear Dan talk about his trip, upcoming trip to Thailand several years ago, 5-6 years ago, went to Honduras on a mission trip and was able to preach at a church that was just starting. And my wife said I couldn't go back again. Because when I was there, we visited some orphanages, and I just about brought all of the kids back home. It was just heart-rending, just hard. But loving kids and loving places, and she really didn't say that. I should clear that up. She didn't say I couldn't go back. She didn't say it. If you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 1... that's where I'll be preaching from this morning. Again, I appreciate the invite here, and it's wonderful to be here. I'd like you to lift that Bible that's in your hands. Take a look at that. That book is an amazing book. That is an amazing accomplishment to have been given thousands of years ago and still be in our hands today. It's inspired. God says, it's my word. There are a lot of people today that have gotten just a tad confused on that. The Bible is under attack. We know that. We can see that. We hear that it's vague suggestions from God, or maybe that it didn't even come from God. It's not even His Word. It's been thrown out of schools, society. They're presently attempting to throw it out of our judiciary system. In many ways, it's already gone from that. As it goes, we're losing our moral high ground. We're losing that point on the compass that points to God, salvation, true guidance for living our lives. But I want to say that, yes, Satan is working hard to get him out, get this book out of our society. But I want to give you some encouragement and maybe just a little bit of ammunition that you can take this word and feel, know that it is of God. Every word has been saved for us. Now we go to verses like 2 Timothy. You can turn with me if you like. I'm going to just cover these quickly as we get a bearing on what we need to understand. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You have a Bible that we can use to know God better, help other people in life, help do some reproof, help do some correction. But what's going on is people are looking at those verses and they're saying, yeah, well, God might have He might have inspired the Bible, but you know, it's kind of vague and it's light and God didn't do, you know, a really solid job. Turn to 2 Peter, just a few pages to the right. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Peter starts to zero in on this for us. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the problem today is that we've lost that process. People today don't understand how much care was taken writing down individual words by scribes, writing down the individual words by the prophet himself. It is a situation where people look at it and they say, well, it was just written by men. It's just a collection of stories. No, there's no other book that we can point to that is this clear and has this thread from Genesis through Revelation and is so connected and correct and inspired by God. In prophetic books like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they all give some of their testimony on how they were called to be a prophet. These calls were not done lightly. These calls were solid. And sometimes to a degree, against their own will, especially when we look at prophets like Jonah. Talk about getting swallowed by a whale. There's maybe some constraint there that he had. Verses like 1 Corinthians 10:11 and 2 Peter 2:6 tell us that the Old Testament is our ensample. It's examples for us. We can go back and we can learn more and we can find out in depth about something like this that may have been not quite covered like we'd like it to be in Scripture in the New Testament. We're told in three places, Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and Revelation, that God warns us, do not change my word. Do not add. Do not subtract. That seems to me that he must be saying he likes his word just the way it is. It's a necessity for us to understand that the Word is Jesus Christ made flesh. He wrote this book in the eternity past. We can go to Isaiah 6 and we can find out that Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't do this. So, like with so many of us in life, he has a coal touched to his mouth. Like he's done with me in life, maybe some of you. He burns it out of me. Slowly but surely, he's correcting us. Jeremiah's call in one. Ezekiel talks about his call and how God speaks to him specifically in chapters 2 and 3. Specifically in verses 2, 7 and 3, 4, he's saying, and God spoke to me. Here's the problem today. We're in a society that's saying, again, it's only thoughts. It's just thoughts put into some guys' heads, and they wrote what they kind of wanted to. But the nice part about it is we can use Scripture to interpret Scripture. So in Jeremiah 1, he gives us that procedure. There's nothing questionable about that procedure. We can use it as applications for us to take and go out into the world, and we can have the confidence in ourselves that this is God's Word. We can be comfortable that He is giving us a message that is utmost true and serious. Now, I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning. You all probably know more about the Bible than I do, or whatever the case might be, but there is something happening in society that's affecting those in the church. Those in the church are now coming away and they're saying, well, I can't be too dogmatic on Scripture. I can't be too pushy. I can't push it too hard. I don't want to offend people. No, you've got the Word of God. You've got the power in your hand. The knowledge that God gave you directly and me. To read it and take to people. I've seen it change lives. I'm sure you've seen it change lives. And people understand and get into this Word, and it is amazing. The transformation that happens to people's hearts. If you would, I'd like you to stand while we read the passage that we're going to read. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 13. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command that thou shalt speak. I command thee that thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day and thee set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Father, as we study your word this morning, we come before you in humbleness that you will teach us from your word. Show us the message that you would have us take to the world around us. Give us faith and courage, boldness in your word that you can allow us to be soul winners, teachers, disciples for you. Be with us as we study today. We would also ask again that you keep Pastor Ketchum and his wife safe as they travel so that they can come back to these wonderful people here later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Verse 5. We're gonna choose some specific words that I think you'll see where I'm going. First word is called pit. Pit. For I knew thee in the belly, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. To be picked for Jeremiah was something that occurred before he was ever born. This is a situation where he was ordained, set aside, picked, chosen to do this work. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm working with a person who I know has been picked by the Lord and they're doing the work that the Lord has for them, I better be real careful whose toes I step on. Jeremiah was a powerful prophet, powerful man. We see things in Scripture like Peter mentions in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16 where he says, you know, Paul is relating writings to us. And did you know they're Scripture? These men were writing the Bible. That's the same thing that happened to Jeremiah. This is a situation where Paul says in Galatians 1:15 that I was chosen as I was put into my mother's womb to be a teacher and a prophet. This choice of people is extremely powerful, strong, sensitive. Jeremiah was a person who was speaking from Judah, the land of Judah, the lower portion of Israel, what we would call Israel today. He is speaking about the upcoming Babylonian exile. And he defines it. It's going to last 70 years. You're going to be taken by force to Babylon, and I don't want you to resist. Don't go anywhere else. Don't fly to Egypt. Don't run. Don't try to stay. If they pick you, tap you on the shoulder and say you're going to Babylon, you do what the Lord has told you to do. Prophets Ezekiel and Daniel are already in Babylon. They're already in captivity. They're already working for the Lord over there. They never met each other from what we can tell. But later on, Daniel would look at Jeremiah's writings and realize, hey, Jeremiah said this was going to be 70 years. Now you have to contrast that with other prophets in the day that were not prophets of God. They were saying, oh, this is going to be a short-term thing. A year or two of some tribulation, a year or two of battle, but Israel is going to come out on top. Judah will come out on top. Jeremiah had to tell him, no, you're not right. This is going to be 70 years and it's going to be devastating destruction in the land of Israel. He was a weeping prophet. Kept mentioning the fact that he was crying for the land of Israel. He was upset that they wouldn't come to the Lord. He was a prophet that had a theme called backsliding. And this backsliding was something that they were always doing. They were always going back to their idols and back to their sin and back to their old ungodly traditions and ways and things like that. It was a very, very hard message that Jeremiah had, and people didn't like it. Thrown in dungeons, thrown in cisterns, captivity, and things like that. Later on, we're told by most reliable accounts that he would, against his will, be hauled to Egypt by a group of people fleeing just like they weren't supposed to. And that later on, being the persistent man he was, they would stone him to death in Egypt. What does that say about our focus on the Bible and how we should look at the Bible? This Bible is an unbelievable work of God. Do not accept society's view that it's just another book. Throw it away. Take it out of our society. The second word I'd like you to think about, the first one was picked. The second one is power. Power to be bold. Power from God to be bold. Verse 6 requires us to understand that we can identify with Jeremiah. We feel inadequate. Jeremiah says, I'm just a child. I can't do this. What's God say? Verse 7, I've got a plan for you, my brother, my son. I've got a plan for you. And where I have a plan, I'm going to work it out. God is good. Jeremiah is a prophet in the term of foretelling. He was a prophet that looked into the future with the visions that God gave him, and he was able to say, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Here's what it'll look like. And it's a situation where he saw these visions. He was given words. to write down and see what was going on. We're New Testament people, and the only way we could call ourselves prophets would be to call ourselves foretellers. If anybody's preaching to you and saying, I've been given a message from the Lord, I've been given new inspiration, run. This word I can look at, and I can go to prophecy. And as I did as a young believer, one of the things that made me understand that this book was from God was that I was able to look at fulfilled prophecy and realize God's doing a special work here. Then I looked at unfulfilled prophecy and I realized, nope, don't want to go through tribulation. Like to go through the rapture. Things like that. And we have to look at that and we have to realize this is a knowledge that we can use just like Jeremiah was told to do. Power. Be bold. Paul mentions it time and again. Be bold. Go out. Give the word. Share it. I'm a technical student by the start and got raised in instrumentation and controls and industrial computers. So I got into programming all those ones and zeros and commands and things like that. And that's my third word is programmed. The word isn't something that was just vaguely given. It's like programming a computer. If you don't put in the right ones and zeros, the computer is going to just sit back and look at you or do something wrong or smoke right out of the keyboard. The key point is that God gave the words to Jeremiah and all the prophets, Old Testament and New. He programmed them. And when it came out, it was this work of inspiration that we have here in our hand. Verse 9 says that he actually put words into Jeremiah's mouth. Actually put words in. How should I look at Scripture if God has actually put words into Jeremiah's mouth? I need to understand that it's inspired and it's God's authority in my life. The next word is preeminence. Preeminence is again a word that we can say is authority to proclaim what God has chosen to relay to us. Preeminence is where in verse 10 he says, see, I have this day set over thee, over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build up and to plant. He appointed Jeremiah the authority of his day in his location. That word becomes an authority to us. God is preeminent. He is the authority over all life, creation, the planets, you name it. He is the authority. That's what he gave and allowed Jeremiah to have, is the authority to go out and say, nation, you are not following God's word. Therefore, you're coming down. Think about where America is today. To other nations, he was able to point to them and say, you're aligned with God's word. You're trying. You're working at it. You're learning the word you need to keep it up. But this is okay. You're going to stand. And as long as you stand with the word, you will stand in the economy, in the time that you're standing. It's no time for us to be politically correct and being incorrect. I don't apologize for that. The word is in our hand. We have to proclaim this word. It is not a time to be politically correct and say, well, you know, if the Lord was here, he might tell us to do this or that, or maybe living out of wedlock and together or whatever, maybe that's okay. No, it's not. We have to be straight. We have to help people understand that there is a judgment coming. We can't water God's Word down. He is preeminent. He has the authority. And if we so choose not to choose Him, He has the authority to send us to hell. Next word is preview. That's our fifth word. God's Word is wonderful. Anybody have the ability here to see the future? Nor do I. Only way I can see the future is through this book. God gave Jeremiah a preview of things to come. He doesn't do that for us, but we have what Jeremiah wrote. Notice what he wrote. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Look at that and say, what's the rod of the almond tree? What does that matter? The almond tree was the first tree in the region to come to life in their spring of the year. It was the preview of things to come. It was the promise of God that life is going on. Things are growing. This is okay. But notice what happens then. In verse 13, he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Jeremiah was given the ability to see problems coming. I'm sure it would have been a lot easier on Jeremiah, and he wouldn't have been thrown in the cistern and wouldn't have been stoned to death and whatever the case, had he just kind of left that news a little bit quiet. But he can't. We cannot leave the word quiet. We see the future for people. We see the future for ourselves through God's Word. We may not know specifics, but we can see the future. And it's not going to be pretty for a lot of people. Don't be misled again by those people who say, it's okay. Things will be all right. No. As we talked this morning, 2 Timothy is very clear. It's going to get worse before it gets worse. It's going to get unbelievably worse with great death and great destruction. Is this meant to scare us? If we're an unbeliever, it ought to. If we're a believer, it ought to put some fire under us. It ought to make us want to be the most on fire Christians we can be so that we can win those people to Christ that are headed for a horrible, horrible time. And if they don't come to Christ, they're headed for a horrible eternity. The preview we've given is God's vision. We're given that vision through the prophets in the Bible, both Old Testament and New. The book of Revelation is wonderful because it ties a lot of those Old Testament prophecies together and New Testament prophecies for that matter. We can see the big picture. We know God wins. We're on His side. But that ought to light a fire on us to make us want to do His work. The sixth word he talks about, I call perform. Verse 12 says this, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. What God tells us, what God promises us, He will perform. We know it. What God tells me is that there are some wonderful blessings that we have. God has promised us many things. Salvation to those who believe in His Son's work on the cross. Salvation both now and in eternity. Heaven for every believer, which is a time of eternal fellowship with God. Hell for those who reject Him. That ought to scare us for our families, friends, neighbors. Joy for us as a Christian, both in this life and in the next. Love. The leadership in our lives by a God that loved us even before we loved Him. This is amazingly powerful what Jeremiah is being told. When we look at unfulfilled prophecy, we look ahead to the rapture. A great hope. Our great hope for the believer. Coming soon. The tribulation. Coming soon thereafter to unbelievers. A time of huge, huge destruction, death. The millennium. A time when Christ will come and live here on earth with those people that come as believers through the tribulation. And you and I, as brothers and sisters, will be allowed to help Him manage the realm during that period of time. He promises a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. A place where we'll live forever. And it took Him 6 days to make the earth. Before He left, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's been building that place for us for 2,000 years or so. It only took Him six days to do this work. How beautiful is heaven and the city going to be? What He says He will do, what He says He will perform, He will do. Where do you see yourself? Are you on fire for the Lord? Are you lukewarm? Or maybe you haven't even chosen to follow the Lord yet. 6 words. Picked, ordained, power, boldness, programmed, inspired, preeminence, authority, preview, visions, perform, promise. Promise to us. I reviewed your website, your doctrinal statement, your faith statement. I looked at your disciple. Is it called Discipleship Makers? Disciple Makers program? I like what I see. I like that. It's clear. It's concise. It's biblical. It's straight. But there are churches that have failed that today. They have chosen to leave sound biblical doctrine and give it away because they want to tickle some ears. They'd like attendance, they'd like money, they'd like the building, they'd like whatever. We can't go there. We cannot go there. They're espousing ungodly, unbiblical doctrines. Evolution. I don't know if you can, but I can't put evolution with 6 days of creation. And in fact, it takes me more faith to believe in evolution than it does God's power to set it up in 6 days. I find that far more understandable. We need to help a world understand that that's not right. Degraded moral codes. This world is coming apart at the seams because it has rejected His Word. Abortion. Divorce. Remarriage. For no godly reason. Sexual promiscuity. Homosexuality. Ordaining homosexual ministers. Females in the pulpit. Living lives by emotion that God's Word tells me, don't be anxious. Be cautious for nothing. Don't worry. Get the emotions out of it. Look at the Word and understand that His Word tells us you need to be working for me. That's all you need to really do once you become a Christian. It doesn't save you. The work doesn't save us. But it does help get other people in the door to heaven. And there is only one gate, is there not? First thing I want to leave with you. We as Christians can't accept these ungodly ideas. We must fight them daily. When you hear people talking and saying Scripture really doesn't affect me. We had a Catholic priest tell us once that the Word is a good book. The Bible's a good book. But you know, it really doesn't apply today any longer. My wife and I had been saved for a few years at that point. We were the tail trying to wag the dog. Didn't work. We couldn't change the Roman Catholic Church, and we were finally deciding that, you know, we need to go where we could get fed, we could understand the Word, and the Word was being preached without apology. That was the day that we decided that it's now time to move. And we went through churches and finally found that the Baptist Church, not because it's the Baptist religion, but because it's aligned with the Word, was where we had to be. Second thing I'd like to read or to ask you to do is to read and heed. Pick it up daily. Pick it up every day and read and understand. That this Word is not easy to comprehend everything. And some days you're going to have to sit down with your pastor, friends, a Bible study on a weekly or daily basis, whatever the case might be. Make sure you're attending church, but read it and heed it. Reject the worldly view and the worldly lust. The third thing that I'd like to have you remember is, again, prophecy is what helped me understand that the Bible is truly real. Then I understood things like love of God. No other nation on this earth has ever been resurrected after being 2,000 years of being defunct than Israel. Should that not be our most promising testimony, is that God has brought a nation back together? They may only be in the physical realm right now, just putting flesh back on those Ezekiel bones, but one day they will be spiritual. Halfway through the tribulation, they're going to wake up. Ought not that be a testimony for us? God knows what He's doing, and what He promises He will perform. You have this Bible that is a gift of salvation to people that accept it. God's work on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection for us is just an unbelievable gift to people that didn't deserve it.